Be seated. All right. Raise your hand if you're a kid. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love it. The adults, I would have been one of those. I can see you. All right, kids. Anyone love a 99 here? Anyone love a 99? No? Yeah. It's funny because the state's mind in my head says, well, wouldn't it be 99 cents? Not the case, though, right? All right, children that love ice cream, if you knew that you could take a walk to get ice cream, but there are two roads, right? There are two roads. One would be just flat, but you just see nothing left and right. But there's another path that takes you up, and you see the mountains, you see everything, but you're going to face wind, you're going to tire your body out, and both roads end up to Centra. Great destination, right? Kids, which road would you take? The easy road or the hard scenic route? What? Hard scenic route. Okay, another kid, chime in. Which one would you take? Would you take the hard? Silas, which one would you take? The easy. Oh, I'm with you as well. I'm with you as well. So as long as I get my 99, right? Okay, adults, which route would you take? Nathan, which route would you take? Easy. Oh, okay. Kay, which would you take? Nice one. All right. That's the whole point of the Via Dolorosa. It's actually called Way of Suffering. Kids, if you get to ever go to Jerusalem, there's a route there in the old Jerusalem where they think Jesus actually walked. And there's 14 stations. Can you count with me 14? Raise your 14 fingers, kids. All right, there are 14 stations really saying, I'm just kidding, that's just 10 plus 4, okay? There's 14 stations that take you from where Jesus is presented to the governor of Jerusalem that day, which was Pilate, all the way to the tomb where Jesus was then buried. So there's 14 stations. If you go there to Jerusalem today, you'll find out that some of the stations aren't actually found in the Bible. They're very traditional. Like, three of them are when Jesus fell with the cross, because it was a heavy cross. But then I think Rome changed it to make it more scriptural. They added one more. So there's actually 15 stations. One station would be with the empty tomb. I think my favorite station would be, anyone here loved hands-on kids? Are you the one that touches the starfish? Anyone love to touch the jellyfish? Anyone? I love to do that. There's a station there where you can actually see the place of skull or Golgotha, where the actual three crosses were standing, and there's a hole there, and you can put your arm through it and actually touch the rock where Jesus' cross was supposedly had stood. And then they built a church around it, and you walk around the church, and you'll actually see boulders there. And one boulder has a crack in it. And they say that crack happened when Jesus died on the cross. See, we're talking about the road to suffering, and I want to let you know, Jesus took the difficult road. But he knew in the end it was good for you and for me. Amen? So children, already say, let's say this. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, did you guys eat this morning? Did you eat this morning? No. Okay, let's try that again. Children, say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, there's a lot, okay? So I've got 14 points for you today. So get ready. I'm just kidding. I'm just choosing here some of my favorites, okay? One of my favorites is when Jesus is standing before Pilate, and all the spectators were saying, we don't like this guy because he claims to be the Son of God, and we're waiting for the true Messiah that will set up the kingdom for us. And the governor, Pilate, actually wants to release Jesus. Three times he says, I'm releasing Jesus to you guys. And the Israelites were saying, no, we can't persecute him. We can't kill him. Only you can, Pilate. Under Caesar, you have that law to sacrifice and to crucify someone. And so Pilate actually said, I don't see any guilt in him. He's actually innocent. And so I'm releasing him to you. But that's not what the people wanted. The people wanted their kingdom, but was so upset that Jesus wasn't doing what he said he would do. But they were misunderstanding Jesus. And so what happened here, the people said to Pilate, he claims to be the Son of God. And so Pilate actually turns, right? Kids, watch me turn. And Pilate turns to Jesus and says, where are you from? And Jesus doesn't answer. And listen to Pilate's words, right? Listen to Pilate's words. Kids, tell me if he's angry, right? So he asked Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Do you not know I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Was Pilate happy? No. Oh, by the way, I've divided the 14 stations to three headings. First one is submission. Okay, this is where Jesus submits himself to the cross. The second one is salutations, where he talks to people, or people talk to him, or where Simon carries his cross, and it's a sign of respect going both ways. And the last one is pretty interesting. It's a combo. It's satisfaction, it's sanctification, and it's surrender. The last one where Jesus actually dies on the cross. But coming back, kids, raise your hand again if you're a kid here. I've got a pertinent question. All right, kids, who has more authority? Parents, don't give an answer, okay? Mom or dad? Davin, you have like this cheeky smile on you right now. Well, who has more? Maybe it's better that you don't. Who has more authority, mom or dad? I've heard it said that the father is the head of the family, and then I've heard that the wife is the neck, and it turns the head. Right? But see, what's happening is here, Pilate is saying to Jesus, you don't understand. I have authority on your life. I can do whatever I want with your life. But listen, guys, to what Jesus says. Listen to this. You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Wow. Who's above? Kids, who's above? Absolutely. This was Jesus' way of saying in a one word where the authority comes from in the whole realm of the planet Earth. Meaning to say, Jesus' authority was higher than Pilate, higher than Caesar, went all the way to God. Amen? And so what I see here is Jesus is saying, Pilate, you're just part of the system. You're part of the will. And Jesus here is submitting himself. So, again, children, I really want to engage with you. Children with siblings, who's usually guilty? Turn to them and point at them. Oh. Children, isn't it? It's the worst thing, right, to be told? All right? Isn't it the worst thing to be told? It's your fault, and it wasn't your fault. Anyone ever been told it's your fault and you didn't do a thing? Yeah, see, I see hands. Like, I was innocent, right? My halo is bright and shining, right? And so what's happening here is Jesus, although innocent, Pilate is making him what? Guilty. The people are saying he's guilty. Even though at first Pilate was saying, I don't see any wrong in him. He is not guilty. So, all right, I have my eye protection, right? The hammer, usually it's the wrong kind of hammer, but they have hammers in the courtrooms, right? This was kind of a court thing going on. And Pilate just slams and says what? Eventually, because the people were saying, Pilate, if you don't make Christ guilty, then you're not a friend of Caesar. And you're going to be in trouble with Caesar, and then you're going to get crucified. And so Pilate had no choice but to what? Say that Jesus was guilty even though he was innocent. So children, you can relate with this. Jesus, who was innocent, has been labeled guilty. Guilty as charged. And I think it's interesting that this says he's guilty, and then with this very same hammer in perspective, I'm just pretending this is a nail. You have that sound, right? Of a hammer hitting a nail. And that is what Jesus Christ bore for us on the cross. Even though he was innocent, people were saying he was guilty. And he took for us the sins of the world. So that is Jesus' submission. He received the cross. He had a hard time carrying the cross. Second, and then we're going to take a break, is salutation. This is quite emotional. Moms, raise your hand. All right. In the salutations, I've just chosen one. I'll be really fast. Jesus was on the cross, and in front of Jesus stood who? His mother. Children, what do you think Jesus said to his mom? What do you think he said? Did you say, hi, mom? Kind of, right? What do you think Jesus would say? If you were Jesus and you saw mom there, what would you say to mom? Did you bring the 99? What would you say to your mom? Right? But listen what Jesus says. He says to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, John the Beloved was there, behold your mother. Some say at this point, Joseph, the husband of Mary, had already died. She's a widow here. She needs someone to care for her. And so people say, isn't it great that Jesus was even on the cross looking out for his mom, saying to John Beloved, she's now your mom. Take care of her as if she was your own mom. And I think that's well and done, but the focus of the cross should be Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. And I want us to think here, what does Jesus say? He doesn't call out to Mary, says, Mom, help me. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He says, woman, behold your son. Look at your son. Observe your son. Mary was the one who kept things in her mind. Remember when the Magi would bring things? And she kept these thoughts in her head. And even Simeon, remember when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple to be presented in the temple? Simeon was there and said, wow, I'm going to die now because I get to see Jesus Christ. But he said this to Mary, look, behold, this child is appointed for all for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. Then he says this to Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Wow. The pain of the mother. I want us to think about this. I want us to think, I want us to realize what Mary was possibly thinking. Maybe Mary was thinking, this is the baby that was born in a manger that I held in my hands. This was the boy who was visited by Magi. This was a 12-year-old that stayed in the temple who said, I've got to do my father's business. This was the man that saved the wedding from running out of wine. And now my son is on the cross. All right, children, quiz. You tell me what this is. Oh, I can't bribe you. I might be told that that pastor bribes people at church. I wouldn't do that, so I'll give you a chocolate. What is this? Kids, what's a Band-Aid for? When you get hurt and get cuts, right? Right? And you'd put it on a wound to make it what? All better. But you know what I think a Band-Aid really is? Let me tell you. A Band-Aid is a poor substitute for mom's healing kiss and embrace. I don't know what it is with moms. You just have a secret power. When your child is hurt, often the child will say, Mom, Mom, look, crying. And you run to mom, right? Children, who runs to your mom? Yeah? Raise your hand. It's okay. Even adults, tell me if you run to your mom. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting. I want us to realize this. In front of Mary, the mother of Jesus, she did not say to Jesus, Jesus, here's a Band-Aid. Jesus never received a Band-Aid. He was left to bleed out, people. Did Jesus receive an embrace from his mom? No. My father passed away all of a sudden because there was an aneurysm that erupted in his brain. And all I wanted in the hospital, I remember, children, was one of my dad's wonderful hugs. Because he was such a good hugger. He wouldn't tell me that he loved me so much, but he would hug me a lot. And I was like, oh, I just want that hug. And then I realized it was our turn as a family to hug him and say, you go and be with God. But children, Jesus didn't receive a Band-Aid. Children, Jesus wasn't comforted by Mary. I want us to see Jesus chose the hard road, right? For you and for me. Can we all of us say, thank you, Jesus. And moms, thank you. Whatever you have, the power you have, you should sell it on Amazon or eBay and say, this is a mother's kiss, this is a mother's embrace. But it is really powerful. But I think the fact that Jesus didn't receive a Band-Aid, Jesus was left to bleed out, Jesus didn't get the comfort from his mom. Wow, Jesus, thank you. So with that said, I'd like us to stand. Here's another opportunity to decorate the cross. We're going to sanctification and surrender. Right after he says, Mother, or woman, behold your son. The next saying is number 4. He turns up from looking down. Then he turns up. He receives no comfort from on earth. He looks up at his father from above and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So from earth, he receives no comfort. From his father up in heaven, he receives no help. And then he says this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill Scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And do you think he really wanted that wine? Do you think he really wanted that? Even the soldiers could not see the depth of Jesus' two words, I thirst. And remember when he was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples were like, no, no, no. And Jesus would say, what are you talking about? Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has prepared for me? And here I am, here he is saying, this is the hour. And now he's saying, I'm thirsty. And talk about the symbolism. He's saying, I'm thirsty. But the thing he has to do that he was praying was, let this cup pass from me. No, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. So this cup of wrath, this cup of anger and hatred towards all the sins of the world, Jesus says, I'm ready for it. Give it to me. I thirst it. I want to drink this cup of wrath, this cup of salvation. Give it to me. Children, if you didn't respect Jesus, respect him now. Amen? When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, then what? It is finished. That's the number six saying. And that's sanctification. Meaning to say, Jesus was satisfied because he was thirsty. You drink the cup of wrath. He is satisfied. And now he is saying, it is finished. My task is complete. Children, all the children go like this with me. You guys know this. This is another form of sign language. This is dad sign language. I'm done, right? It is finished. Jesus is saying, I have fought the fight. I have conquered over sin. And now he then surrenders. Remember, no one ever kills Jesus. No one ever kills Jesus. Jesus lays down his life. Look at what he says here, right? The last saying, it's not in John, but he says, Father, right? Well, before that, after he said he was finished, verse 30, and he bowed his head and gave up his what? Spirit. And the last saying is, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Spirit out of the body, that body's dead. So that's when Jesus said, it is time for me to die. I commit, Father, and notice, he says, Father, not my God, he says, Father. Well, there's that connection again. He knows his time is over. I'm returning now to my Father. His forsaken time is done. He can return to his Father. I really believe nothing is more satisfying than when you get what you're craving for. Children, what is your favorite chocolate? Oh. Favorite treat. Come on, children, let me hear you. Any Malteser fans? Adults, you can chime in too. Malteser fans, anybody? No? Oh, yeah, there we go. Twirl. Yeah? Nice. Whispas? Yeah? Crunchy? Yeah, just the plain Cadbury chocolate. Anyone? Yes. Now you put fruit and nut in that? That would be me. Oh, some people are saying no. But I was craving peanut butter so badly this morning. And here, I'm just going to show it to you, right?
I not only got peanut butter, but I got this thing that only Ireland is growing, black currant. So that's a bagel, as a sesame bagel with peanut butter and blackcurrant jam. Whoa! Yeah. David's a fan of peanut butter. Right? And it was toasted. So it was toasted enough that the sesame seeds become a little bit more flavorful, you know?
And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And if you gave me a sandwich with, like, something else, like cream cheese and black currant, I'd be like, no, that's not what I was craving for. And the point I'm trying to make here is sin required a sacrifice that was perfect, unblemished, perfect Lamb of God. And that was Jesus Christ, everybody. Jesus died on the cross for you and me. What sin required in us, Jesus paid for. I'm wondering, children, anybody know, for the wages of sin is death. But what's next? But the gift of God is eternal life in who? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. How do I close this time up? Well, I want to challenge you in the way that Jesus challenged his disciples and followers. Children, show me your heart. Oh, no, I won't even do it. Show me your heart. Do a heart symbol. Yeah? See? Some people are like going like this. Some people are going like this. Adults, how do you show your heart? Give me a... See? It varies from generation to generation. Like, look at April Joy going like this. You're going to break your fingers, right? But I think this is it. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples after he resurrects. Oh, no, this is prior. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also love one another." So Jesus is saying, love one another as I have loved you. Not just as your neighbor, like in the Old Testament. But how did Jesus love them? Well, listen to this. In two chapters after that, John chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And then Jesus calls them, "You are my friends." How does Jesus show that he loves us? By dying on the cross. So don't ever think Jesus doesn't love you. Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice, ultimate expression of love, and best he could. He maxed out his life and died for us on the cross. Amen. Beloved, the Bible tells me God makes all things beautiful. What was once the Roman way of execution and of punishment, gruesome, humiliating, and that's what it was. You walked down this street through the markets so that everybody could see you being humiliated. But now we put flowers on it, signifying that we serve a risen Savior. Amen? I can't wait to hear next week's message concluding our series of coming to the cross, celebrating Easter. So would you stand and let's close by singing one of my favorite songs, "When I Survey the Wondrous."